Take another breath. Keep breathing gently in through your nose. Let it flow through you and let it go gently through your mouth. As we breathe, let this breath, this life-giving breath, flow up to the highest point of your being. In unity, we like to call it our Christ mind. What is the Christ but the memory of God? The Christ is the mind that we share with our friend and our brother Jesus, but it's also the mind that we share with the one on our left and the one on our right. When we remember God, when we remember good, when we remember our I am. The Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. So let that memory flow from the highest point of your being, and let it flow through your vision. Let it flow through your hearing. Let it flow through your word, and let it flow into your touch. The Christ in me awake now. The remembering of good awake in me now. That is how I am so blessed. We're about to travel into the silence. I invite you on this journey in to remind every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, the memory of good is awake in me now. The memory of good is awake in me now. The memory of good is awake in me now. Let's go on in. In my awakened state, I remember what I am. I remember who I am. I remember that I am. I am so blessed because I remember. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen.
Thank you, Sean. David Friedman. If I were you, where would I be? There you are. Hey! Glad you stopped by. Would you share a new song, a brand new song with us today? Okay. Deep inside your heart, Have you kept it quiet? 'Cause you don't know where to start. If you think that dream's impossible for you, then all you have to do is dream bigger. David Friedman and Spiritini. And a three and a four. I'm going to put this right here in case you need it.
Light on. Hello.
Here we go.
God is still good. Okay, we're going to let this go. Very confusing. Hey, everybody. Thank you to Spiritus for learning that song so quickly. And David Friedman, you wrote it. He's very good that way. We just did a big event Friday night called Dream Bigger. We took over the Palace Theater in Stamford, 1,600 seats, which is really impressive for a church of 70 to take on that endeavor. Who here has heard of David Tutera? He's like the celebrity wedding planner of America, and his aunt is on my board.
It should work now.
Oh, well, yes, it should. Oh, and it does. Yay. It's my lovely assistant. And so Maria went to her nephew, David, and said, would you do this Dream Bigger tour? Would you do one of those for us and, maybe let us have some of the profits? So he said, oh, you're Maria. I'll do it for you and give you all of the profits. And so we took over this theater, and a whole lot of community got involved, and we had a very successful evening. But about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, David woke up on a Sunday morning and said, the show needs a theme song. And he sat down before church and wrote that song. Because he dreams bigger. He dreams bigger. Today's talk is based on my friend Solomon from the Bible. And Solomon's one of my favorite. This is a Bible, by the way, in case some of you haven't seen one. And it's also a bestseller.
And Solomon in the Bible, my friend Edwin teaches about Solomon. You know, we hear the beginning of Solomon, the richest man that ever lived. And he just took in great money. And we don't always hear about the end, which was not the nicest story. But I want to read to you the beginning part right now, because it's just thrilling. It simplifies to me what spirit is and how spirit works. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I want to tell you about my workshop this afternoon, because otherwise I'm going to forget. And it's called Basics of Metaphysics. I believe it's 2 to 4 this afternoon over at the offices there. And the point of this workshop is to get a foundation in the laws surrounding metaphysics and the laws of living life. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said that owing to a lack of understanding of the laws of health, neither of us was as healthy as we ought to have been. And it is my impression that many of us are trying to sneak around the law and still get our good, when we could go right headfirst into the law and have everything, have absolutely everything. And the two laws we're going to focus on this afternoon is health and manifestation. So just to let you know. And now, back to Solomon, which is still about this. Solomon was made king at about 12 years old. He was very, very young. He was made king, and he went up on a mountain. He was David's son, and he went up on a mountain to pray. Now, first he killed his brother. Because when you're a Bible person, you do these things. You know? And then you pray. You kill your brother, you kill your somebody, and then you pray. And this is what happened, because he considered his brother a rival. And then he went up on the mountain of Gibeon, which means the mountain of high sacrifice. And he went up on this mountain. And it says here that he loved the Lord after he killed his brother. And but what this really means is he loved the law. Most times when you read Lord in the Bible, reinterpret it to law, because that's how we work in metaphysics. It's all about the law, principle, law. And that we want to get on board with it rather than trying to just use it to make our misery more manageable. Some of you understand, and some of you don't want to understand. And but I think, you know, how can I use this to hate myself less but not give up all my lack? I want to keep some of it. So I, you know, I like this lack. I still got to criticize the politics, don't I? I still have to be able to hit send. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. Shut up. Shut up with your misery all over electronics. And I say that with love. It's no fun coming up on my wall with everybody's opinions. So it's like, you know, people, let's love God. Let's just love God. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. Does that mean except for Facebook? I mean, really. Solomon loved the Lord. I used to love the Lord. And it says here that Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." Well, isn't that fantastic that Solomon is so special that God came to him and said, what would you like? What can I give you? And Solomon said, "You know, thou hast shown great and steadfast love to thy servant David, my father." Because David, you know, did a lot of great things. And it says, "Because he walked before thee in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward thee, and thou hast kept for him this great and steadfast love, and hast given him a son to sit on his throne on this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of David my father, though I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great number that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding mind
to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who was able to govern this thy great people? And it says here that God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before and none like you shall rise after you. I also give you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you in all your ways. Now here's the thing. Would you actually desire an understanding mind? When I first time I read that, it so went with the principles that I came into Unity with. You're telling me, don't pray for the stuff as if the stuff will give me understanding or peace. Seek first the kingdom, and the rest will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Yeah, but there's stuff I want. There's stuff, you know, and we all want stuff, and often we get confused when we come into Unity because we hear about the prosperity, and we hear about all that. But somehow we miss the law to it. We miss the divine law to it through understanding. Through understanding. Yesterday, we had friends staying with us, and he was talking about that we should be afraid of some things. You know, a child should be afraid of fire for what it could do. And I said, no, a child needs understanding. There's no reason to scare our children into being afraid of the world. Give them understanding of what fire does. Give them understanding that they could get a ticket if they speed. Give them understanding to pay their taxes. Give them understanding, you know, on how to sit at a dinner table. Give them understanding. We don't have to make them afraid of displeasing someone. Just give them understanding. But before I could give that child, or that child, wherever he or she is, the understanding, I must give this child the understanding. That's what I encourage us all, to desire understanding rather than fear. To desire understanding, because you see, in that dream that Solomon had, that was a big dream. It was a big, enormous dream, and it was enormous in its simplicity. All I have to do is desire understanding. Put my desire, my fleshly desires on the side for a little bit so that I can get still and that I can know. Imagine that. I've told you before that in my early healing days, there was a man who stood in the front of the room and he said, God has better things in store for you than anything you could ever imagine. And I could imagine some pretty wild things. And they were all of either the earth or my body for satisfaction, ultimately, of the body. All of them, all of them. What I could not imagine was serenity. I could no more conceive of serenity, peace, joy, love. I couldn't conceive of those things. And that was the better. That when I use the word God, I'm talking about law. I'm talking about order has in store for me. We're not talking about some old man. I want you to know that I know that. I'm sure you all know it, but I want to make sure you know that I know. We're not talking to a person. We're not asking a person. Solomon wasn't asking a person. Solomon was talking with his highest consciousness. I have in me what I call a voice, and that voice guides me. And sometimes I listen to it. And sometimes I think, thank you, I have other plans. You know, sometimes. And that's what happened with Solomon. Solomon, here he was. He got connected. He got connected to that voice. That voice within him that is pure love, pure wisdom, pure understanding. And he was connected. And he went and he led beautifully. He led so beautifully. And those people that we talk about governing, and those cities and those towns, those are our thoughts and metaphysics. He became a great governor of his thoughts. He became a great leader of his thoughts as long as he stayed connected to what he understood within his faith in God. And then one day later on, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but I have. Thank you, God, I got it from here. I know how to rule this body now. I know how to rule my appetites now, and I have a lot of them. And with this foundation, I'm going out on the town. You know, and Solomon went 700 wives. 700 wives. That's a lot of lust. And 300 concubines. He so became about satisfying the flesh between sex and food and money that he disconnected in consciousness with what he knew to be God. You see, we cannot actually disconnect from God. We clearly cannot, because wherever I am, God is, and all is well. You know, that's a prayer. That's not an indication that the service is over. And so, wherever I am, God is, and all is well. Well, we either believe that or we don't. Either God is or God isn't. So you see, God cannot be absent because I have misbehaved. It's just, this is how I'm using it. This is how I'm using principle. This is how I'm using law. And I'm forgetting to dream bigger. I'm forgetting to let it really be in me. And I did it. I tell you, I did. I had Solomon's manifestations. Early on in my healing process, 20-some years ago, I desired nothing more than to know God. I desired God so much that I quit smoking because it was in the way of my prayer life. I loved smoking. I miss it to this day. But I will, that's one of the things I have not picked up. You know, I wanted to know God better, because knowing God was becoming so great, because it wasn't a person anymore. It wasn't a decision maker. It was spirit. It was presence. And I knew things I didn't know I knew. And I was kinder and gentler. And then I began to prosper. I began to demonstrate the stuff that Unity tells you can. And I manifested stuff. I manifested him. At a Unity retreat, no less. And so, I manifested, and then I became minister of a church. ridiculous. With my background, that I'm minister of a church is hysterical. But I use all that background. You know, and a few years ago, with my, and then we got the house, and, all sorts of stuff we began to manifest. And the stuff became more important than my prayer time. Maintaining the stuff, fear of losing the stuff, upset with him. You know, the very thing I prayed for became just a hindrance to joy. And through no fault of his own. Just the way I began to think. And then my body, I started to hate my body. And I started, because I forgot. And I allowed myself in consciousness to become separate again. And then a few years ago, it really showed up. And I went off for a few months. I took a sabbatical, and I went and played for 3 months. Two of the guys there I played with down in Florida. I went away, and I played, and I played, and I played. And I went to the beach, and I went to Disney, and I just did stuff. And I came back remembering my purpose again. And my purpose is to point the way to God. First to myself. And then to anybody who's interested. To point the way to divine law. To point the way to principle. And I had, just a few weeks ago, I was at a fellowship. And I was reading some of those fellowship things. And And I saw where some of my attitudes had really backslided, to the point where I was both embarrassed and grateful all at the same time. I was embarrassed that me, Mr., we'll say a couple of initials, who thought I had everything, had backslided in attitude, in mind, in attitude, thinking I could get away with attitudes, that I could get together with one of you and gossip and criticize and complain and think, but I'm safe. I'm safe, and I could still manifest fully. But then I was relieved to realize I have tools to, like that. I can turn it around like that with prayer, with meditation, and listening to the still small voice. I have a still small voice. Who here has a still small voice? Who here listens to it? I love that. Not as many hands, but nevertheless. I like that you know you have one. Some people come to me and they say, Sean, I don't hear the voice. I just don't hear it. And I say, it's not that you don't hear it, it's that you don't trust it. It speaks through you, and it guides you to go down this street, and it guides you to go down this street, and it guides you to smile at this person, and it guides you to say hi to this person, and it guides you to avoid that one, and it guides you... And it guides you to pray now, not tonight, after TV and a bag of candy. You know, who here has successful meditations after an hour of crime drama and a bag of peanut butter cups? You know, meditate early in the day. A nice early in the day. 5 minutes, if you're not used to it, 5 minutes will do it. You know, and I hear that, oh, but I can't get quiet for 5 minutes. So what? Let the voices scream. You'll get quiet for a second. And if there is no time and spirit, that 1 second will reveal to you so much. And so these are all the practical tools I use in order to hear that voice more distinctly, more loudly, and more lovingly than ever before. I don't hear volume in the voice. I just hear to say whatever needs to be said. When I'm praying with someone, how do I know how to pray with them? I don't know. Somebody comes to me in counseling, and we sit down, and we start to pray, and when it's done, they say, you just covered everything I was going to talk about. That was the voice. And it works in love, and it works in harmony. And I trust it, rather than saying, that can't be it. It's like, just do it and find out. Say something kind and find out the results afterwards. Say something in understanding and find out the results afterwards. See, these are the dreams our mystics had. They heard the voice. And they heard it from dreams. And then they followed through to see what happens if you follow through on that voice. That voice that so many people hear say, I don't know how to have a career. Well, of course you do. If God is knowledge itself, we know how to have careers. We may not have the one we thought we wanted, but we will have one in the essence of what we have desired. See, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a movie star because I thought that would protect me and make me more glamorous. You know, but I wanted to be a movie star because I knew being a movie star, I'd be safe in a studio. I'd have a house with a wall around it. And people would stand on the other side of that wall and envy me. That seems like a good aspiration, doesn't it? And, you know, and I thought, but it would make me safe. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me I think I'm in danger. If I'm looking to be made safe, I think I'm in danger. Well, if you had my childhood, and some of you did, you'd think you're in danger too. Oh, hello. I'm not in danger. When I went to therapy, and then I went to one of those fellowships, and I found out I was safe. But what really made me safe was my prayer connection. What made me safe was my willingness to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood God. And I did good, orderly direction, 1 foot in front of the other. That was the best God I could find. And that made me safe. And so I began to fear you less. I began to worry less. What are they thinking about me as I'm up here? What are they doing? And all of a sudden, I was on stages.
all of a sudden, I was living a glamorous life. All of a sudden, I had a career that put me in front of people. It was not to be a movie star, but it was to get to share my life with people. And so, with that, I became so safe in New York City streets. A few years ago, when I started forgetting and becoming separate in consciousness, I began to fear again. I began to fear rats. I began to fear people. I began to fear the future. I began to fear the past. How ridiculous. 2 years afraid of the past. I mean, it's crazy, but we do it. Oh, no, the past is going to happen again. And so in the reconnection, I see, oh, that doesn't bother me the way it used to. That's not so upsetting. What's going on there? I began to see bigger. I began to see a bigger life in simplicity. Bigger in simplicity. Last year, I opened a nightclub act. That's like 30 years it took to have the courage to do that, to get past self-consciousness enough to get out in the world as a minister and get on a stage in New York and swear. Not at random. You know, I almost did that with the mics for a little bit ago. But not at random, you know, with a purpose. But to get out and sing in public. I didn't grow up singing in public. I was too afraid. I didn't sing. I didn't know how to sing. Well, you know, I could never do such a thing. You know, all this stuff, Britt and I both come from, you know, the early days here. We started about the same time in this stuff. And it's like the stuff we have done is laughable. It's just like, because there's no real sense to it. Except we asked for an understanding mind. We asked for an understanding heart from the God of our understanding. We asked, and here's the next part, we expected to receive. Why ask if you don't expect to receive? And in that, life changed. And it keeps changing, and it keeps shifting, and it found out it was safe to change. A lot of us are here. I think all of us really are here for a limited amount of time. You know, unless you're Lazarus. Is Lazarus here today? Yeah, I still don't know what happened to him after he came back. You know, did he just stay forever? And most of us, we're here for a limited length of time. And we shouldn't be afraid of that, but are we doing what we ought to be doing while we're here? Are we thinking what we ought to be thinking while we're here? Are we saying the words we ought to be saying while we're here? Are we walking the steps we ought to be walking while we're here? Are we placing our faith in love while we're here? Are we placing our faith in possibility while we're here? Are we being while we're here? Are we getting out and saying hello? Are we getting out and speaking for what we're for and putting what we're against aside? Are we? I closed my show with a song that David wrote. And I like the song a lot. Otherwise, why would I sing it? But I thought about the lyric to it, and I thought it is based on a concept of a limited time in a body. But what are we doing while we're here? And so I'm going to close out this morning singing this song after I wet the gift here. I'm so happy to be home at Unity of New York. Oh. Thank you. And listen to these lyrics and let the intent behind them inspire you today to pray, to connect, to meditate, to say yes, absolutely. I expect my good now. And oh, this must be it. Are we clear on that? I expect my good now. And oh, this must be it, because whatever's here now, this is your good. Let's sing. No, not you, me. This is so cool that I'm here. I never thought that there could be a love like yours and mine. I never dreamed that I would see the day that I would find a love that feels so right. But here we are this morning, and now the only thing we really need is time. We live on borrowed time. No one can be sure when the loan will finally come due. But I'm loving all of mine. I know what time is for. I borrowed it so I could spend it all right here with you. There was a time when I believed that life held guarantees. There was a time when I was sure my future was secure. But life had other plans. The future's in God's hands. And knowing that has let me live and love you more. We live on borrowed time. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow seems a million miles away. But I promise you that I'm gonna make love last by living every moment, every hour, every day. Now we may have a year and we may have a lifetime. No one can be certain what the future will allow. But you and I are here, and this time is the right time. One thing that I know is that we have each other now. And now we live on borrowed time. Let's celebrate and sing as we walk bravely into the unknown. 'Cause we're gonna be just fine, whatever life may bring. We'll face it all together, and we'll never be alone. We may not have forever, but our time will be our own. See you in church. David Friedman.